we're going to do, we're going to focus on, I believe God has called us to focus on. And it's not, it's important that every so often we come back and revisit those so we continue to keep it clear before us who we are, who we're trying to be, and we have to come back and look at what we're doing and say, all right, we're doing some things that don't really match up to what God has called us to be, and they're really kind of spinning our wheels, so we need to come back and reevaluate. So this month, we're coming back, we're reevaluating and recasting who we are and gearing back up to doing some of the things we're doing. And in the first week, we talked about discovering your spiritual gifts, and we talked about it. Everybody has a spiritual gift that God wants to use, every one of us, very, very much in ministry. And it's time that you receive a natural gift at your birth, that you also receive the gift of sight, and you can, you know, feel, and you can smell, and you can touch, all those things that come along with your senses. So when you're born spiritually, the scripture is very clear that He gives every one of us spiritual gifts, that none are left out. Isn't that the great thing? That none are left out. This is not you being picked last in recess. God doesn't work that way. This is not you saying, you know, someone told you that when they were passing out brains, you thought they said trains, and you went down to the train station and you missed out. This has nothing to do with any of that, because God is not prejudiced. God is not a respecter of person. He gives every one of us gifts to be used by Him. And we talked about unlocking those, and that at Destiny Church, our goal is to see you walk in your destiny. That every one of us have gifts to be used, and getting people to use those gifts and you getting involved and unlocking your gifts, that's when you'll find your destiny. That's when you'll find your spiritual fulfillment in life. And some of you have gone through your life saying, I don't feel fulfilled. There's got to be more. And I say to you, you'll not experience total fulfillment into your life until you learn to use the gift that God has given you. And that doesn't make a difference how much you get in your shopping carts. I talked about a few weeks ago at Christmas time as we're shopping for different things. How many degrees we have, how much money we make, how many adventures we take, how many kids we have, how much relationships we have. None of those things will fulfill the void in our life until we learn to unwrap our spiritual gifts and be used of God. Last week we talked about discovering lasting friendships and developing those lasting friendships, and how God has called us to be the friend that we should be to our people, not only here in the church but outside the church, and the importance of building those relationships. And we even talked about last week how we are going to be kicking off some new small groups coming up in just a few weeks. You're going to be hearing about home groups and small groups for you to have a chance to host those and lead those and be a part of those. But those are the very lifeline of our church, that we have got to continue to build relationship with each other. It's not enough for just to come on Sunday morning and some people come on a Wednesday night, but we got to develop this relationship that helps develop and make each other better. That I need you, and you need me, and you need the person sitting next to you, and this people over here, you need people over there, and vice versa. We need each other. We're developing those relationships. Well, today, as you see in your bulletin, you see a whole list of things there that we have that are important to us. And one of the things we really strive here at Destiny Church is we really believe that God has called every one of us to grow. That everyone is called to grow. And that doesn't make a difference if you've been saved 2 weeks or if you've been saved 25 years. It doesn't make a difference that every one of us are called to continually to grow in our walk with the Lord. Let me say it again. Every one of us are called to grow in our walk with the Lord. And so today we're going to talk about growing in the wisdom. Growing in wisdom. And our text is very clear. It's in Luke chapter 2. It's where we get the foundation for the scripture that we're using to challenge our own body. It's this right here. A simple verse. In Luke 2:52, it says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and in favor with man." He grew with wisdom intellectually. He grew physically in stature. He grew in favor with God, which is spiritually. And he grew in favor with man, which is socially. Now, how many know that if there's ever anyone who didn't need to grow, it would have been Jesus? If there's anyone who could say they knew it all, if there's anyone who could ever say that they would walk the perfect life, the Word of God is very clear, there's only one person who's ever lived the perfect life, and that's Jesus. And so we see his example that even he grew in these different areas in his life. And so that should be a challenge that if Jesus needed to grow, how much more do you and I need to grow in these areas? How much more that you and I should challenge ourselves to grow in these different areas of our life? And so we today are saying at Destiny Church that we want to challenge you. As your pastor, I want to challenge you to grow. I say this, if you are not growing, you are dying. Let me say it again, from over here, maybe a lot of better side likes me a little bit sometimes. If you're not growing, you are dying. See, they love me over here, right? There's a famous line in the movie Shawshank Redemption, which says a guy is falsely put in prison, and he's there falsely convicted, and he finally gets up one day and tells his friend, he says, you got to get busy living or get busy dying. And he starts, at that point, he gets a tunnel his way out, digging that tunnel out of that prison, planning his escape hatch, you know. And pebble by pebble, he carried that tunnel out and threw it out in the yard. And, you know, I think it's very true in our life. You got to get busy living or get busy dying. Because you're doing one or the other thing. If you are being still, if you're being stagnant, you are slowly decreasing, you're slowly spiritually dying. So as your pastor, I want to continue to stretch you and say, God has called every one of us to grow. And we have a responsibility to grow in His Word. And today we're going to look at a couple of these over the next few weeks. So I'm not going to talk about some of these areas, but some of these areas I want to hit on, I believe, is very true to who we are. And that is this thought of growing in wisdom. Doctors tell us we use about 6 to 10% of our brains. Do you realize that? How many know that? That's kind of an odd thing. We have all this brain, all these billions of set brain cells, and the word they tell us in medical journals and things that we study that we use anywhere from 6 to 10% of our brain. So we still got about 90% up there that we can still use to gain wisdom from the Lord. And there's things we can use. Let me give you the definition of wisdom. The definition of wisdom is the ability to consistently make good choices about the way you live your life. The ability to consistently make good choices about the way you live your life. That's wisdom. It's not just information. It's just not knowledge. It's choices and decisions. That wisdom is when we make good decisions about the information we have. That I can have all the information in the world, but if I don't translate it into my everyday lifestyle, then I'm not a wise person. I do not have wisdom. I may have knowledge, I may have some intellect, but if I don't translate that into my everyday actions, I'm not a very wise person. I am not very wise in the things that I do. And it says that Jesus grew in His wisdom. He grew in His wisdom. And I believe that you and I should be constantly striving to grow in wisdom. The Greek word for wisdom that's used here is the word Sophia, which translates to really the ultimate knowledge. It translates to the ultimate knowledge of who God is, the ultimate knowledge of knowing what God wants to do in my life, the ultimate knowledge of saying, I know who God is in my life, the knowledge of God. I want His knowledge. I want His ways. If your knowledge does not affect the way that you act, it is not wisdom. Let me say it again. If knowledge does not affect the way that you act, it is not wisdom. When I get knowledge of God and who He is, it changes the way I act toward people. You cannot help it. It's very clear that when I get knowledge of who God is, when I get knowledge, it changes the way I want to act toward my wife. It changes the way I want to act toward my children. It changes the way I want to act toward my neighbor. It changes the way I want to act toward my employer, with my employees. When I have a knowledge of who God is, it will translate through wisdom, and I will want to change my ways. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't mean I don't make mistakes. But I will have a desire to do better. I will have a desire to do the will of the Father. Do you catch what wisdom is and how it works in our lives? It's really God's character being translated into my actions. It's God's character being translated into my actions. So we're going to look at wisdom here. If I can keep my notes together. God allowed Jesus to grow in wisdom. I believe at this point that you and I would look to it for an example. As we see that He grew in wisdom, that we must grow in wisdom also. And let me say to you, some of you here today say, Pastor, well, when it comes to wisdom, I'm just not a very smart person. And that, you know, that just was never made the highest grades. You know, my IQ is just not as high as somebody else. And I must tell you this, that there is different levels of IQ. That's a very obvious thing. But how many know that the sharp knife can cut anything? Whether it's a big knife or it's a small knife. If you sharpen that small knife enough, it will cut the same thing the big knife will cut. It may take a little longer, but it'll get the job done. But we've got to quit making excuses and saying this, that we have got to learn to sharpen ourselves according to the word of the Lord. We've got to learn to sharpen ourselves and quit making excuses. I didn't make good grades. I don't understand the Bible. But let me tell you this. It's time for us to put on our big boy shorts, okay? Let's just say it that way. It's time for us to put on our big boy shorts and take responsibility for ourselves and say, I have got to grow. I've got to challenge myself to translate the wisdom of the Lord into my everyday actions. That what I hear on Sunday is translated, and it causes me to grow. It challenges me to grow. And so how do we do that? How do we grow in the wisdom of the Lord? Let's look at Scripture. Scripture is very clear on how to grow in the wisdom of the Lord. Number one, we learn the fear of the Lord. Psalms 111, verse 10 is very clear. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have a good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning. So if you want to know where to start, you start right here. Learning to have the fear of the Lord in your life. Now this is where it's unclear because many of us here, we translate fear in a very different way than what Scripture is talking about right here. Because many of us, we have this idea of God up there with a big hammer. God's got a little big hammer. You know what I'm talking about. Right over my head. And as soon as we mess up, God's waiting up there to go, pow! You know. So it's like that game where the squirrels, you know, the little squirrels and gophers come up and your kids are pounding those things up, you know, a Chuck E. Cheese, and you're trying to get those things in. We kind of think of God the same way. That God's up there waiting for us to make a mistake and pop, right on the head. And this is not what the Scripture is talking about at all. God's not up there with a big hammer waiting to knock you and I out the first time we make a mistake. But the fear of the Lord is, if you translate this, if you actually go back and translate the original meaning of this word fear, we actually had to go with ultimate respect. That's the way it translates out. An ultimate respect. If there's an ultimate respect to say, God, I respect your ways above any other ways. God, I respect the way you think of me more than I think about the person beside me thinks of me. God, I care about what you think about me more than my family thinks about me. God, I care about what you think of me more than my neighbor thinks about me. Because I fear, I ultimately respect who you are, what you've done in my life more than anything else. That is the beginning of wisdom. We learn that there's ultimate respect for who God is and what He's done in my life. It's a deep respect, and it brings results in my life. It changes the way I am. We see the deeper respect I have for Him and who He is, His authority in my life, His authority in my family, the greater distaste I have for sin. The greater I want to please Him, the more I'll begin to hate my sin in my life. You see, when I grow in the wisdom of who God is, I have an ultimate respect that, God, your ways are higher than my ways. God, I've got to learn to please you. As I do that, I begin to have a distaste for sin in my life. I begin to have a distaste for the things that I know don't please Him. Because ultimately, I want to please the Lord. Because I am gaining wisdom, and my wisdom translates to action. And so that's why it's important that we learn that ultimately begins with the fear of the Lord. That wisdom, and why is this important? Because, you know, as I begin to ultimately fear the Lord and I begin to translate His wisdom into my actions, I am giving up sin in my life. God, this does not please you. I'm going to stop this. God, this habit is not, I know that you don't like this habit in my life, so I'm going to give up this addiction in my life. God, you don't like the way I'm talking here, so I'm going to change the way I talk. You don't like the way I treat my wife, so I'm going to learn to treat her better. You don't like the way I'm away from my kids all the time, so I'm going to learn to spend more time with my family. And so as it translates and changes my actions, as I begin to give up habits and sin, what happens? I guarantee you this will happen. As you give up sin, your heart then becomes soft to reach out to people who committed the worst sin. It goes hand in hand. When you have a revelation of who God is, you begin to fear Him. I will give up the sin in my life. I will begin to stop addiction in my life. I'm going to stop things I know don't please the Lord. And as I give those things up, on one hand, on the other hand, I find myself with a soft heart to those who are living the greatest sin. And I want to reach out to them, and I want to love them in the way I have, because I have seen how the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is changing my life. And I know that they don't have to live this way. And so it will translate into love. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Then something else happens, a deeper love for God. I mean, you find yourself falling in love with God. When you get a revelation of who He is, when you begin to fear the Lord and the ultimate respect, you have a new love for Him. It goes deep and it changes who you are. It translates into your everyday actions. Number two is set your mind. You have to learn to set your mind. Learning to find yourself in wisdom, growing in wisdom. You learn to set your mind. Like you would set a compass. A compass sets its course on the North Star. Like you set the arrows of a target, the bullseye on the target to hit it. Like you set your focus upon the road ahead. As you put your focus, set your mind on the things of the Lord. Colossians 3:2 is very clear. It says, set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. Let me say it again. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. When you're learning to grow in wisdom, it changes the mindset. You got to get up saying today, I'm fixing my mind upon the things of the Lord. And listen, if you don't fix your mind upon that, it's going to fix upon something. You can't walk throughout your day without fixing your mind upon something. And so you have a choice. What are you going to fix your mind toward? Now, we can fix our mind toward our problems. I can fix my mind toward my depression. I can fix my mind toward the things I'm going through. I can fix my mind toward my addiction. I can fix my mind toward the sin that I'm doing over here. I can fix my mind on a lot of things, but as I grow in the wisdom of the Lord, I learn to put my target and fix it upon heavenly things. I learn to change my mind. I'm getting up today, and Father, today is going to be a great day in you. Father, this day I'm going to follow you, God. Let your spirit lead me today. I am fixing my thoughts. I am fixing my mind upon you. But does that mean I'll walk around in the heavens? Hallelujah. Does it mean I'll go around shopping at Walmart? Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, excuse me. Somebody comes by and wants to shake your hand and talk to you. I can't talk to you right now. My mind is fixed upon the Lord. No, we're not talking about superficial spirituality, okay? I'm talking to God today. You're in control of my life. Even when I push that card and say, God, I don't want to fill my spiritual card with the things that I don't need. God, I want you to be in charge of my life. God, I'm fixing my thoughts upon you. Setting my mind, setting my target, fixing my thoughts daily upon God. That's how I'm growing in wisdom. It starts with a daily thing. And because I do it today doesn't mean I don't do it tomorrow. It's a daily thing. You want to grow in wisdom? Learn to get up. Say, God, I am fixing my thoughts on things above. What are things above? Well, I'm just fixing my thoughts and thinking that one day I'm going to heaven. That's all I'm going to, everything's going to be better. And I'm not talking about just sitting around dreaming about heaven. It is going to be a great place. Don't get me wrong. Heaven's a great place, and we want to be there. But I'm talking about fixing my mind to saying, God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Today, God, let your kingdom come. Your will be done. I am fixing my mind. Setting my mind is learning to fear the Lord and set your mind. These are things that build wisdom in my life. Number three, this is kind of obvious, but I think it needs to be stated. We got to value wisdom. Value wisdom. Once I set my mind upon God and fear Him, the Bible teaches that if I'm really going to gain God's wisdom in my life, I've got to put greater value on wisdom. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. How many know that all you have is a pretty high price? I mean, I couldn't ask for a more higher price the other day. It's all you have. That's what he says. If you want wisdom, it's going to cost you all you have. Some of you here today say, Pastor, I don't think I want to do that. I don't have very much. The money that I have, I don't think I want to give up. Well, that's a problem. See, that's the problem, because you got to learn that if you want to grow in wisdom, it's going to cost you everything you have. What do you mean, Pastor, by that? Let's look at what Mark 12:30 says. It says this, love the Lord your God with all. Everybody say all.
All.
All your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love the Lord your God. This is how I'm called to live my life. It's to love the Lord with all. What's all? It's everything I have. All my heart. And many times you've heard me share this here at Destiny Church, how that God, that many times we come to our life, we have a slice of this, Our life is divided into slices. We've got our work slice. We've got our family life. We've got our relationships. We've got our activities. We've got our hobbies. We've got our interests. We've got all these different things that we slice the pie of our life up. And many times God becomes another slice in our life. Well, I'm going to the church on Sunday, and this is my spiritual slice. I'm doing the right thing. I'm giving God a slice of my life. And God says, I want your piece of pie. I want the whole thing. Isn't that kind of arrogant? I mean, really think about it. Isn't that kind of arrogant? God says, don't give me a piece of pie. I want it all. When I was a kid, I had the same attitude at Thanksgiving. My grandma would make me a pumpkin pie. I didn't want a piece of the pie. I wanted my own pie. And she knew that. She would make me my own pumpkin pie. It was mine. Nobody else was allowed to touch that pie. hot, stinky smell right now. It's a cool potato. It smells good. Right about this time. And God's the same way. He says, listen, thanks, but I want more than just a slice of your life. I want it all. Because he knows this. He knows if we will give him all of our heart, if we'll give him all of our mind, if we'll give him all of our dreams, if we'll give him all of our hurts, if we'll give him all of our sin, if we'll give him all of our life, then he will take that thing back and he will bless it and give it back to us. But it's for his glory. But he is wanting us to submit to him and say, God, your ways are higher than my ways. God, I've got to learn to love you with everything. I've got to long to value wisdom. I've got to learn wisdom. It's a great thing. You've got to learn to crave wisdom. There's my way of getting wisdom, and there's God's way. My way is trying to figure it out. My way says that I've got to learn to get wisdom on my own, and I'll get more degrees after degree after degree, and I'll get knowledge, and I'll read the encyclopedia, and I'll study this, and I'll get this, and I'll figure it out. This whole God thing, I'll figure it out in my mind. When it all makes sense to me, Pastor, I figured it all out in my mind, then maybe I'll give God everything. And let me tell you this, you will never figure it all out on your own. I've talked to people who tried. I've talked to people who are some of the smartest people you've ever met in the world. I mean, there are some smart people. They have high, very intelligent IQs. You know, people who don't study for nothing but ace everything. I mean, they have intelligent IQs, but yet they can't seem to get over the mental thing in their life, the mental thing of who God is. And because there comes a point where wisdom does not start with my intellect. Wisdom starts at the cross. Wisdom starts at the cross. See, man wisdom says you go to a hill to bet somewhere and you meditate for 25 years and then you go to this person and ask him for spiritual advice, you know. Oh, what do you have the advice for me, great whoever, you know. They travel to a hill and they want to find out the answers to the true meaning of life. And they say something like, oh, grasshopper. You know, whatever. That's our idea of wisdom. Right, Justin? How many know that I don't climb a hill to go to Tibet, but I climb Calvary's hill? That's where wisdom starts. It starts at Calvary's hill, where Jesus Christ died on the cross. And my simple act of facing God, I accept you into my life. That's the beginning of wisdom right there. I begin to say, God, I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. And I begin to trust in faith. And as I do that in faith, then there becomes understanding. And then as I give God my whole heart, as I give God my whole mind, as I give him everything by faith, I begin to get a new understanding of who he is. There's a newer revelation that comes into my life. Because on my own, I'll never figure it out. But as I give my life to him fully, there comes a new understanding. Because why? Because he can trust you. Because you are passing that test. I say, God, your ways are higher than my ways. I'm going to quit giving you a slice of pie. God, here's the whole thing. You wait and see the wisdom that will come and follow. The wisdom that will translate to your actions. It will mess you up. I'm telling you right there. There was a philosopher. I thought it was a good story. Socrates. You guys remember Socrates? Any of you guys had to study philosophy in college? You know what I'm talking about? Socrates was the great muscle philosopher. Not like me, but like another guy. Anyway, great muscle philosopher. And he had a student that came to him. And he said, Master, I want wisdom. Chinese to say it, but I think it sounds better. Master, I want wisdom. And Socrates says, all right, you come after school with me down to the river, and I'm going to show you what wisdom is. And of course, after school, he so anticipated his heart, he was going to learn what wisdom was. And Socrates took him down to the lake. He says, now, what do you want more than anything? He says, I want wisdom, Master. So he goes, okay. So he grabs the student by the hair, and he puts his head under the water for 15 seconds, and he pulls him back up and says, what do you want more than anything? I want wisdom. So he sticks his head back under the water for 30 seconds and pulls him back up and says, what do you want more than anything? He says, I want wisdom. You can see this rocking. I want wisdom. He thinks he's doing the right thing. So he sticks his head back under the water and holds it there for 45 seconds. The guy comes up and goes, what do you want? He goes, I told you, I want wisdom. So he sticks his head underwater for a minute and a half. And when he pulls the guy up, he says, what do you want more than anything? He says, air! I want to breathe. And Socrates says to him, you want wisdom as much as you want air. Then you will have wisdom. So we got to learn that when you want wisdom above anything else, then you'll gain wisdom. That when you learn to say, God, I want your ways more than anything else. God, when I have your ways more than anything else, I want a revelation of who you are. I give you everything I am. As much as I want to breathe, God, I want to learn to please you in your heart. Number four, we fill our minds. We grow by filling our minds. We grow in wisdom, filling our minds. This is a very practical side to wisdom. But we have a discipline to fill our minds with the right things. To fill our minds with the right things. We have to have a balanced diet. How many know that? I mean, if we allow my kids, what would they do? They would eat Twinkies all day long. They would eat cake all day long. My kids would eat candy all day long if I let them. They would drink pop all day long if I had to ask. What would they do? They would allow my kids. Why? Because they like it, don't they? They don't care about a balanced diet. They want to eat sugar, you know. Ooh. They want to just whoop that sugar down. They like it. You know, they have one donut, they want three. I mean, they want to continue to have it. But how many know as a parent, I don't give them everything they want. And it's up to me to provide a balanced diet for them, to teach them they got to have balance in their areas of life. The same way happens in our spiritual walk. You want to gain wisdom? There's got to be a balance to our spiritual diet. I got to fill my mind with the right things. Because I guarantee you this, that you don't have to try very hard today for your mind to be filled with the wrong things. It's everywhere, okay? It's everywhere. You can't watch TV. You can't drive down the street. You can't walk in the store. Your mind's going to get filled with things that you know it shouldn't be filled with. So it's already happening. And so you've got to counteract it. Because otherwise, those things will dominate your thoughts. Otherwise, those things will dominate your personality. Otherwise, those things will dominate how you act. So I've got to be saying, you know what? There's enough negative that I've got to learn to counteract that to give myself a good, balanced diet. Spiritual diet. God, I've got to fill my mind with the things of the Lord. I've got to learn to fill my mind with heavenly things because I've got to counteract what's going on in my life every day. And listen, if you don't fill your life with spiritual things, that's why I tell people so much that you keep in your car. You keep praise and worship music in those CD players so that through your day when you travel from place to place that you can pop in and praise and worship and spend some time with God. When you're getting ready in the morning, turn on some worship because you're going to get bombarded through the day. You're going to spend time soaking yourself in the presence of God. You're going to spend time soaking your mind because if you don't, you're going to be unbalanced in your diet. Your spiritual diet is going to be so out of whack and you're going to find yourself, why am I struggling here? Why do I know? I want to do good. But I'm spiritually just over here obese, man. I'm bad. You know, I need a spiritual diet to get back into shape. It's because I am not being balanced in my walk with God. And so I've got to learn to grow in wisdom means that I grow in my balance. I've got to put inspiration, things that inspire me. I've got to learn to hang around people that inspire me. Yes, there's a time to hang around people who don't inspire you for evangelism purposes when you're showing God's love. But I can't be unbalanced. I can't spend all my time talking to people who are negative. I got to spend time with people also who make me better. I got to spend time with people who challenge me to be a better husband, who challenge me to be a better Christian, who challenge me to be a better father, who challenge me to be a better employer. You know who these people are. You inspire yourself with God's word. You inspire yourself with thinking on things of Him. Fill my mind with those things. I inspire myself by hanging around a balance of people. I don't get unbalanced with people I hang around, as we talked about last week. I need relaxation. I need to keep myself information. I should never stop learning and growing. Keeping my mind filled with the Word of God. I'm putting spiritual words of God. Don't ever stop learning. Keep reading spiritual books and intellectual books. It's okay to read other things, but continue to grow as a person. And find time to relax and to chill out, to give your mind some time. I tell you this, there's many times in my life that I got to get something accomplished and I cannot get anywhere mentally. I've got some things to do and I just can't seem to get focused. And so in those times, I just got to walk away. I got to walk away, close the books, close the office, and get away and go do something to clear my mind. Whether it's driving down to Starbucks and getting a coffee and just spending some time alone or do whatever you find the time to relax. And then when I come back and go back to that thing, I find my mind's open and there's freshness there. Fresh ideas. There's things happening. I'm getting clarity of thought. And so you got to provide your mind with a balanced spiritual diet. Inspiration from God's word. Inspiration from God's people. Inspiration from God himself. Information, God's word. Information on how to grow. And get some relaxation, okay? Continue to relax yourself.
And the last thing here is our musicians come this morning as we get ready to close. Philippians 4:8 says this. You can write this down and read it later. It says, let your mind dwell on these things. These things that are true, they're noble, they're right, they're pure, and they're lovely. Whatever is admirable, whatever is worthy of praise, let your mind dwell there. This is where I find how to fill my mind on things that are true, that are noble, that are worthy, things that bring God praise. Let my mind think of these pure and lovely things. And the last thing we do in closing today is we gain humility. Gain humility. You want to grow in wisdom, then learn to be a humble person. Learn to show humility. Proverbs 11:2 says this, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. That I gain wisdom by simply stopping and saying, God, I know a lot of things in my life, but your ways are higher than my ways. God, I'm tired of trying to do things on my own. I'm tired of trying to do this thing by myself. Every time I try to do my marriage my own way, it ends up a wreck. Every time I try to parent from the way I was raised, my kids end up hating me. Every time I try to do finances on my own, things just get out of whack. But when I come to God and say, God, I want to submit my life to you. God, I want to humble myself. I lay down my pride. God, I can't do it on my own. But God, I humble myself and say, God, I need you. I need your ways. Be Lord of my life in every area. Then I begin to grow in wisdom. You may have it all together, sir. Ma'am, you may have it all together. You may have everything you thought you ever wanted to work toward. But true wisdom comes when I humble all of my achievements, when I humble all of my possessions, when I humble all of my degrees, when I humble all of my accomplishments. Even the other end, when I humble all of my hurt, when I humble all of my unforgiveness, and I lay down my pride and say, God, I don't want to go another minute without you in control of my life. I begin to walk in a new wisdom. God has called us to walk in a wisdom, to grow in wisdom. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. With every head bowed and eyes closed this morning, I just want to give you a chance. Maybe you're here like the two people who were here last week. He raised their hands and said, I need to know Jesus. Pastor, you're talking about bowing down to God. I could say today that I need to ask Jesus Christ into my life. I need to bow my heart to his today. Maybe you've never prayed this prayer before, or maybe you've prayed that prayer in the past, but you find yourself living so far away from him. And today you know that you need to get back and get right with God. Either it's your first time to pray this prayer, or you say, today I just need to get back right with God. I haven't been living for him. But today, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life as my personal Savior. No one's looking at me. Can you raise your hand, though? I want to acknowledge you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Keep them raised. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? You say, that's me, Pastor. I need to learn to do this. Thank you for being honest. Yeah, thank you. Before we go any further, we're going to pray this prayer together, and I'm going to ask everyone here to repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear Jesus, come into my heart. I give you everything I am. I give you my sin, my dreams, my pride. I give you everything. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. Be Lord of my life. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, we say to you, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. Can we just, yeah, let's give them a hand clap. Yeah, we. Now, if you prayed that prayer today, let me say, this is only the beginning. This is not the end all where you stop. This is only the beginning of a new pursuit. Pursuing after our lifestyle, says, God, I want to please you. God, I want to live for you. I want to turn away from the person I used to be, and I want to begin to walk toward being a person that pleases you. And that comes when you get plugged into a local church, get plugged into a local body. Let us love you. Let us disciple you. Get connected with people who will make you better and stronger. So today, if you prayed that prayer before you leave today, we'll have a special packet for you in the very back to give to you, just kind of a New Testament, some other things to tell you what to do now, where to go from here. Make sure you stop on the way out, right back by the half door, by the sound room, straight to the very back, and pick those up when you leave today. The second thing I have today, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we dismiss. Can you stand with me today? You see, Pastor, I'm here, and I want to say that as we're kicking off this new year in January and refocusing our priorities, that I'm asking God to help me today to grow in wisdom. Today, as you were speaking, I was challenged. Anybody here can raise your hand and say, I want to grow in wisdom? Anybody? Yes. Yeah, several hands. We want to grow in wisdom. I'm raising my hand right with you. I want this year to be a year where I learn to grow in wisdom of the Lord like I never have. Why? Because I never want to stop growing. Let me say again, I will never have reached a spiritual pinnacle where I need to stop growing. Every one of us need to continue to grow. And so if you lift your hands up today saying, I want to learn to submit my ways to the Lord, to go after the wisdom, I want to challenge myself to grow in the wisdom of the Lord so it translates from knowledge into action, I'm going to pray this prayer over you today. So let's bow our heads. Father, I pray for those who raised their hands today, who said they want to grow in wisdom. I pray that your Holy Spirit today, Lord, would take the words that have been spoken and cement them to their heart. That God, as they pursue after you this week, God, of taking the knowledge of who you are, and may that translate, Lord, into us changing our actions, translate into us submitting ourselves to you, humbling ourselves to you, setting our minds upon you, God, valuing and wanting wisdom more than anything else. I pray that this year, God, will be a year of growth in our life when it comes to wisdom, that we would take the knowledge that we're receiving and apply it to everyday practical living, that we can grow in wisdom from the Lord. Lord, as you gave Solomon wisdom, I pray that you give us wisdom that will go beyond our years, that you would give us wisdom that we've never operated in before, God. I pray that a spirit of spiritual wisdom will be released this morning. Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit today, a spirit of spiritual wisdom be released to our minds, released to our hearts, Lord, as we humble ourselves before you today, saying, we will follow after you and say yes to your ways. Yes, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen and amen. God bless you today. We'll see you Wednesday night. Shake a hand before you leave. Be blessed in all you do.